15. 4, 5. Number 415.
Oh, lively song. Good message to it. All right. Sam, did you do any announcements?
No.
Okay. All right. Of course, the big one is this coming Sunday, John Zwingle will be here. And for the first time in a number of months, we will have an evening service this coming Sunday. We'll have our normal Sunday school at 9:30, morning service 10:45-ish. And then we will have an evening service this coming Sunday at 6:30 p.m. So I hope you'll come and join us, those of you who are able to. He will be with us next Wednesday night as well at 7. And then the following Sunday, we will be back to our regular services, just Sunday school and morning service. So just a reminder about that. So hopefully those who we haven't seen in quite some time that are, because of their schedule, are only able to come on Sunday evenings, hopefully we'll see them. As I have always been doing, at least recently anyway, I send out prayer bulletins to those who can't be here. And I enclosed a little note with each one telling everybody about the Sunday evening service. So hopefully some of those people will come. So that'd be good. All right. I think that's the major announcement that I'm aware of, with the exception of this coming Saturday night. Set your clocks ahead 1 hour. That's this weekend. So make sure you do that. I almost forgot to mention it again. So, yep. And it's always annoying at this time of the year because you lose a whole hour of sleep, but hopefully you can figure it out somehow and hang in there. All right, so I think those are the announcements that I'm aware of right now. We'll take prayer requests in just a moment. But before we do, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. That's where our memory verses are found. We are currently looking at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. In a little bit, we will be looking at verses 8 and 9 as well, but we will keep them separate. We won't say all the verses at once. That way we'll only be learning two verses at a time. Hopefully it will be a little easier to learn in that way. But for right now, we're on verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 55. 6 and 7, right. We finished 6, and we're going to complete the thought and include verse 7 now, so that'll be good. All right, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. All right. We'll be on verse 7 for just a bit, because that one's a little tough. We'll keep working on that. Okay. All right. I think everybody grabbed a prayer bulletin. If you didn't get one, they're on the rack to the right there of the little board that tells what our offerings were and that kind of thing. That's where we keep the bulletins. So anyway, and Joanna, yours is on the way in the mail. So that's all right. You'll get to it. That's fine. Okay. Very good. So, anyway, I know it just came out on Sunday, but if there are any changes or updates, you know, I'll take just a moment for that. Yes, Donna?
Brother Heisey is continuing to improve. The plan is for him to go home on Friday. And she hopefully will have some help to come in. He remembers back things very well. But current things, he's not remembering. Although, even with the children, he keeps asking about their children. Of course, they're all grown, and he doesn't remember that. and then the grandchildren too, but he is doing well. And May and June are at the hospital. They've been there all day. We need for the baby to come, so you can pray for her. They got there, I think, around 8:39 o'clock, somewhere around there. And she's been in labor all day.
I wonder how they're handling poor Tokyo, huh?
He's with a friend, and hopefully that's going okay.
Okay. All right. Yes.
I just want to testify or give God praise and only give him glory. Because when I came home this morning, like she said, I got a message on my answering machine from May and from June. And I didn't get home this morning until 8 o'clock, because I let my car run. So I didn't get home until 8 o'clock, and I got two phone calls, like one for about 5 a.m., one at 6 o'clock, and one at 7:10. And I don't know, for some reason, we're not allowed really anymore to carry our phones on the unit. For some people, they say some apples fall a whole bunch.
Right.
So we are not allowed to carry our phones. And I just didn't think about looking at my cell phone this morning. So but the praise is that, you know, I was so worked up because I was trying to get a hold of June and I couldn't get a hold of them on the phone. Then I called the hospital, and right when I was getting ready to call the hospital, June texted me, and because I had left a sort of urgent message for him to call me back, because I thought, I could go and pick Johan up, or they could drop him off to me, or whatever, you know. But the praise and the glory is that, you know, God works everything out, you know, and he's on sovereign. And though I was concerned and all worked up, and June and May, they have like the sweetest hearts. They've been texting me all day, keeping me updated, and they just let me know that don't worry, that Johan is good, that he's with a friend. And the last text I got was at 5:40 p.m. that she was in, that she was resting, that she's, they gave her epidural, and that she was resting, that she's doing well, but she had a little fever, so that was to ask us if we would pray for her. But God is good. And all the praise and the glory goes to God. And I like those two songs that we said. That was a perfect message of songs, because, you know, God is faithful, and he never fails, and he is our lily of the valley, and our bright and morning star. And I'm just so grateful that Johan and his parents and baby Julia and May are all doing well. So, like she said, we need to keep them in prayer. But the whole glory and the praise goes to God, because when our hearts are troubled, he knows how to comfort us.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Yes, go ahead.
I'd like prayer concerning my house. It's on the market, and we have had showings today, and several more are scheduled in the next few days. So I appreciate your prayer for that.
What that means is when that house sells, all of us will be up here, no more down there. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's what's going on. Anyway, anything else? Okay, I guess, Sam, we're ready.
There might be a Bible in this place tonight. Island?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do a hymn story tonight. And the hymn is Anywhere with Jesus. And in the blue hymn book, it's number 584. So you can go ahead and turn there. All right. Okay, I'll give you a little heads up on how this is going to go tonight. We'll sing the song, and then I'll give the hymn story. Let me give the hymn story first. I'll do the hymn story. I'll read the hymn story first. Then we'll sing the song. But what I want you to do is, later on after we're done singing, I'd like to invite participation tonight. And dealing with the theme of the song, Anywhere with Jesus, is that different people in the Bible that we studied did just that. They went anywhere with Jesus. They went there with confidence. They went there because they were faithful to the Lord. They did what God wanted them to do. And they were blessed, and they also brought blessings to other people along the way. So what I'd like you to do is be thinking about people from the scriptures that went anywhere with Jesus. And we'll take a little bit of time, you know, we'll see how much time you want to spend doing this. It'll be up to the participation of everybody here. And just, you know, we don't have to each give a long message or anything associated with that, but just, you know, mention somebody's name and what they did and things like that. Say a few words about that, and we'll share our thoughts with everybody else. And it should help us to make application to our own lives so that we can feel that we can go anywhere with Jesus as well. We don't have to go halfway around the world. It could be a short trip. It could take two little steps to walk over and talk to somebody and hand them a tract. But that journey is important. Well, anyhow, I'll read the hymn story here. And if you're looking at 584, you'll see two names at the top. You'll see Daniel B. Towner. Okay, he's the one, his name's on the right-hand side. He wrote the music. And the story goes like this. The theme for this song came to Dr. Daniel B. Towner as he was listening to a message given by D.L. Moody. It was in Binghamton, New York in 1866. And it was one of the first meetings in which Dr. Towner was associated with Mr. Moody. It is also one of the first songs that he wrote. Mr. Moody's sermon was filled with the challenge that with Christ as the captain of one's life, you could go anywhere without fear, for God would see you through. He drew his illustrations from the Bible and introduced Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, the Apostle Paul, and others. Moody made them come to life. Mused Towner, there ought to be a song written with that theme. Usually a writer of that time would first secure the words before attempting a melody, but he decided that he would write the melody first and try to put it into the special feeling he felt was needed for such a song. After he had completed the music, he sent it on to Cleveland, Ohio. There lived a young lady named Jessie Brown who had a God-given gift for writing sacred poems. With the song, Mr. Towner included a note telling Miss Brown that he wanted the song to say anywhere with Jesus. As Miss Brown played the music, she was able to catch the spirit in which Mr. Towner had written it, and in a very short time had written a set of words making Anywhere with Jesus a complete song. Soon the Sunday schools and Christian Endeavor societies had made it their most popular song. In 1896, Jessie Brown became the wife of Reverend John E. Pounds, and it's because of this that the name Jessie Brown Pounds is now usually used on her songs. And if you look on the left, on the top above the music, it says Jessie B. Pounds. So that would be her married name. So if we should already be at 584, we'll go ahead and we'll sing the song right now. And then be thinking about some discussion, and sharing your thoughts about Bible persons that were faithful to go anywhere with Jesus.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.
always feel that these hymn stories help to appreciate the hymns that were written for us. And this is 153 years ago that this hymn was written. And I like to think about a little of the history behind it, to think about the people that wrote the music, that wrote the words. And we're blessed today, after all these years, a century and a half, to be able to be singing their songs. And I'm glad we have the songs. I'm glad we have those, and I'm glad we hold on to them. While other churches are going away from this music and going to modern things that I don't really care for, I've heard some of the modern stuff, especially the contemporary stuff, and it's it doesn't bless me, and I don't think it blesses the Lord either. As I said, I wanted to invite participation, and we'll mention people that from the Bible that went anywhere with Jesus. And of course, Dr. Towner kind of beat us to that already by mentioning Daniel and the three Hebrew children, but he didn't mention their names. So does anybody want to mention the names of those three Hebrew children? Okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now here's a real tricky one is, what were their Hebrew names? Those names were given to them in Babylon. Yeah, does anybody remember any one of those three? Hananiah, and he was?
Shadrach,
yeah. And then Meshach was?
Mishael,
I guess it's pronounced. And then the last one is Abednego. That's right. You got 100. Very good, Donna. And then another one, Daniel, of course, we mentioned his name, but he had a Hebrew name. I'm sorry, that was his Hebrew name. But he also had a Babylonian name. Does anybody remember the Babylonian name?
Belteshazzar.
Okay, Jim, yeah. Belteshazzar. Jim had his hand up. But thank you. Thank you, everyone, for answering that question. Belteshazzar. It was kind of interesting when you read through the book of Daniel, the three Hebrew children, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Hebrew names are mentioned, I think, only in, maybe only in chapter one. And then when they're mentioned afterwards, it's always the Babylonian names. But Daniel's name is used all throughout the book. Sometimes it says Daniel, whose name was given as Belteshazzar. But even the king, when it was Daniel going in the lion's den, you know, the king came over and he called to him by name. Remember, he called him Daniel. He didn't call him Belteshazzar. So I thought that was kind of interesting how Daniel's name was used mostly throughout the book instead of the Belteshazzar name. Just a curiosity that I thought was interesting, and I'm not sure what the significance of it is, other than the fact that the king may have seen how Daniel was faithful to his God, and maybe out of reverence to that or respect to that, he used his name Daniel. And then he also was raised in a very high position in the land. Daniel was. Does anybody want to bring up a person from the Bible? Barbara?
Yeah, you know.
Moses.
Moses.
Yeah, right. Okay. What can you tell us about Moses?
He took the people from Egypt to the promised land.
Yes.
And that's what we have to look forward to for heaven. That's wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. He had his problems, though. Moses did, you know, early on with some things that he tried to take matters into his own hand. But then, you know, the Lord got a hold of him, and he did with the Lord's bidding instead of his own, which was good. Anyone else? Any? Gerald?
I think, actually,
two
come to mind, but the prevalent one is Paul.
Paul. Okay. Yep.
And I think about Paul because of where he came from, mm-hmm. because of his ignorant upbringing and the things that he was taught. and how he, and the reason that he was destroying Christians and God's people, and really from his heart, because of the upbringing, he doesn't do it for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But then how, when God met him at Damascus and he, God gave him revelation,
mm-hmm.
and told him that he was going to send him to Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And I just think about Paul's heart,
mm-hmm.
and how that, you know, all that umpha that he gave for killing him because he didn't know any better.
Right.
He, that zeal that he, mm-hmm. turned around and applied that zeal, mm-hmm. to really loving God's, mm-hmm. people and teaching God's people. And just going over and beyond the call of duty for Jesus Christ, because he wanted to be one with Jesus.
Amen.
And I just think about Paul.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good example, and probably one of the most significant conversion stories in the scripture.
Yeah.
You think about where he was, like you said, with his upbringing as a Pharisee, and thought he was doing right. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong too. But the Lord straightened him out. When he met the Lord, he found out that he was doing the wrong thing, and then he did the right thing. And praise God for that. Do you remember any of his companions that when Paul went on missionary journeys? He journeyed for, I think, about 13 or 14 years, I think, was his length of his missionary journeys, something like that. I think he started in, Damascus. He was in Damascus in 33 AD. I forgot I actually had these years written down. And then I believe his missionary journeys ended in 44 AD after he left, pretty sure it was Jerusalem, and then was taken to Rome. That story ended there with him being martyred. But do you remember any of his traveling companions?
Yeah. Yes.
Barnabas?
Yep, Barnabas.
John.
John Mark. John Mark, yeah, yes. Okay.
And
Jim?
Timothy.
Timothy. Okay.
Silas,
yes. Donna?
Luke,
right. Another one, name starts with a T.
Titus.
And how about a married couple?
Cole and Priscilla.
There you go. Yeah, those are the names that I had that I could find that either accompanied Paul or ministered to him while he was on his journeys. Of course, then, you know, also there were, he did meet up with Lydia, of course. We have a Lydia here, right? Hi. she administered to them while they were, she got saved, and then when they were there, she had them in her house and gave them refreshments and things like that. So it's a good testimony. Yes.
Well, another thing I think about Paul is he was not alone, although he said, "No man stood with me,
yeah.
but the Lord." So he was with the Lord even when he was alone, and those Amen. Other people weren't around him.
Amen.
Nobody was supporting him.
Amen. That's right. Right. And then he was alone with the Lord for 3 years in, what was that, Persia? Oh, no, Arabia. He was in Arabia. The Lord gave him revelation after he got saved. So, any other Bible people? Jim?
Abraham.
Yes, Abraham, of course. Yes, he did a lot of traveling, journeying for the Lord, and then he Lord told him to go, and he went. He didn't even have a destination. He just went. He was faithful to the Lord, and he went. Anybody else? Marge?
Noah.
Yes, Noah. Now, we have no idea how far Noah traveled, because once he got in that ark, and I did a study on this one time, And once the ark started floating, it may have only been going 5 miles an hour, just drifting, because it didn't have a motor or anything like that. It just drifted. That could have easily gone completely around the world. We don't often think of that. Sometimes you almost get the impression that the flood, you know, water, but the boat went up and then it came down on Mount Ararat. But there was a whole year in between those two events. And so he could have traveled a very, very long distance, all the way around the world, just by drifting for a whole year or so. And, I didn't calculate the speed that would be necessary to do that, you know, but even 5 miles an hour, if you think about it, over the course of a year, you're gonna move a great distance. So yes, Noah, he was faithful. He was faithful to do what God told him to do, in spite of a lot of criticism and mocking while he was building the boat for 120 years and said it was going to rain, and people never saw rain. So, and yet, Donna?
Job,
yes.
After all the things he said, yet I'll trust him.
Amen. And you know, and people, you don't have these people didn't have to travel a great distance to go anywhere with Jesus. They could have even stayed in where they lived, and they still served the Lord.
Ruth,
yes, mm-hmm. Yes, one of our favorite characters from the scriptures, Ruth. And we just, Mark Reno was just giving us he went through the book of Ruth. That was a good study too. Yes, what a wonderful story. Good story of her love for her mother, her love for the God of Israel, and eventually her love for Boaz. Yes. Yeah, being faithful to God is, well, as I believe as Mark was saying, that when we're faithful to the Lord, we're available to receive his blessings, okay? When we don't do what God wants us to do and we don't go where he wants us to go, we miss out on his blessings. And Mark had mentioned how Naomi's husband, now I can't remember his name,
Elimelech,
took them out of the land where they should have stayed and went to Moab, and he didn't please God by doing it. Well, he passed away, and then the two sons eventually passed away. And what Mark pointed out was something I never thought about, was they were there for 10 years and had no children, the two sons with the Moabite women. And apparently God didn't want them to have children. When anyway they perished, now they should have, like Mark said, they should have left and gone back. When the father died, they should have just said, let's go back to where we belong. They didn't. They stayed there. They missed out on the blessings, and of course, and then Ruth and Naomi went back, and Naomi got into the blessed line of Christ because she was faithful. And then Naomi was also then blessed too, because she went back to her homeland where she belonged. And though, you know, you could say that maybe she went back reluctantly or had no choice at that point, but she did go back, and that's the important thing. Any other people? Go ahead, yeah.
This is a different kind of example, but I thought of Peter following Jesus to the trial.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that demonstrates our human frailty, but it also demonstrates God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And when we are witnessing to other people to account for that, you know, they, like Peter, they might feel... They might, you know, they could be a potential disciple, but there's fear of becoming a Christian, or whatever the case may be, pride or intellect or mm-hmm. you know, false doctrine or
sure.
whatever. But that should inspire us who are already disciples to be strong and to be fearless in the Lord, mm-hmm. and never assume what kind of disciple that person could be, because like Peter, I mean, mm-hmm. he could preach to thousands.
Yes. Yeah. So yes, he was certainly one that went anywhere with Jesus. He was a follower, and beside him, there were 11 other followers too, the apostles, right? anybody want to venture to the names? Remember any of the names of the, besides Peter? Matthew? No, Mark's not. No, he's not. Bartholomew? Yeah. James, the brother of who? John. His brother, his brother John. They were both apostles. James and his brother John.
And,
right, sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder. Yes. Yep, you're right. And how about Peter's brother?
Andrew.
Right, Andrew.
Thomas.
Did Nathaniel have another name? Is his also Thaddeus? I think he was also called Thaddeus. And we said James. Well, there were actually two James. There was James that was son of Zebedee, and then James, son of Alphaeus. And Judas Iscariot, right. I mean, he was one of the 12, right. You know, now there he followed Jesus, but yet he followed him and wasn't faithful to Jesus. It's a strange story. It's a negative example of someone that followed Jesus and was there that could have received the blessings, but what did he do? He let the devil get into his heart and let the greed or whatever it was take over. He was replaced by somebody, though.
Matthias.
Right, Matthias. How about another one? His name starts with an S. Simon. Simon the Zealot. And somebody's name starts with a T. Thomas. And someone's name starts with a P. No. Philip. That's right. Those are the 12, actually 13, but if we subtract Judas and add Matthias, and then we come back to 12. Okay. And then, of course, Paul was an apostle called by the Lord. Okay. How about Jacob? He really moved around. Jacob was. Now some of his traveling might not have been. Now, of course, we're saying anywhere with Jesus. Of course, Jesus existed then too. He's part of the Godhead. When God spoke to somebody, Jesus is part of that too. So
Jacob wrestled with him.
That's right, right. And Jacob really, really traveled around. I had even had a map I printed out. I'm not going to go through this, but he went, it lists 14 places that he went through in his travel. Some of them he came back to, like Beersheba. He started there. That was where he deceived Esau and stole the birthright. And then many years later, wound up back at Beersheba before he went, took his family to Egypt, and then wound up in Hebron. He didn't really travel there on his own. He was carried there and buried in the cave of Machpelah. That's where he ended at Hebron. But Jacob certainly traveled a lot. And some of it may have been following God, and some of it might have been him following his own methods. But we know that he was he was called Prince of Israel.
Prince with God.
Prince with God. Right. Prince with God. Right. I think that's what Israel means. Prince with God. Right. Okay.
Jeremiah.
Yeah. Jeremiah. Yes. The weeping prophet. Amen. He was faithful through, and you could relate what happened to him to a lot of the prophets. A lot of the prophets were scorned and killed and everything else, but they did what the Lord wanted them. They went anywhere that the Lord wanted them to, but they didn't receive the glory then, but they're in glory now. How about a bad example? How about a bad example of somewhere that should have gone?
Balaam.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Balaam. Oh, yeah. That's, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Balaam.
Jonah.
Yeah, that's right. Jonah. That's the one. Yeah. And Balaam was a good one, too. Yes. And he kept trying to go. And, you know, what did the Lord do? He made the donkey tell him. He wound up talking with his donkey. You know, he was really stubborn. He shouldn't have gone. The Lord kept trying to stop him. But Jonah, yeah. He wasn't willing because he didn't like the Ninevites. You know, they were a very wicked nation, and he just didn't want to go there. It was an abomination to him. He just didn't want to go. And, you know, but the Lord kind of forced him there with the great fish. A lot of people think it was a whale, but I don't think it was. It says a great fish. God prepared a great fish for the...
In the New Testament, it's called a whale.
Yeah.
I kind of knew, and I was reading Jonah, and Mark was doing a study of Jonah, and I was kept thinking to myself, I mean, even when he was doing the study, and you know how you witness to people all the time, and sometimes they don't always want to turn, you know, they don't want to hear it or whatever, and sometimes you go, well, Lord, why should I keep going back to that person? Like, Jonah,
yeah, sure.
I really thought for Jonah, because, you know, even in our day, there are people that we think, like, you know, we don't want to really give the time of day to, mm-hmm. but God says that he loves mm-hmm. them,
yeah.
and that we still have to mm-hmm. be faithful and witness to them, because we never know, you know, how God is going to, because God's word never returns void.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was witnessing to my one resident, John, and how he was so indifferent. And I kept saying to the Lord, I'm not going back.
Yeah.
I'm not going back, Lord. I'm not going back. Mm-hmm. But the Lord kept yeah. saying, yes, you are going back. And then after a year's time, John probably gave his heart to Jesus.
Amen.
And it's just a picture of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jonah didn't think that Libya people were going to turn around, but they did.
Jeremiah went through a similar thing. He didn't want to. He got fed up with the people too. You know, but he said that the word is his heart burned with enemy. He couldn't stop. He couldn't hold back. He had to do that. But you know, when you think about with Jonah, and that's a good illustration you made about you. Sometimes there's people in our lives that they're not saved. They need to hear the gospel, but maybe we're just tired of talking to them, or we think that I don't even want to talk to this person. You know, they're going to be mean and nasty, and I don't want to talk to them. You know, but you know, Jonah felt the same way. But the Lord wanted him to go. The Lord had him picked to go to see the Ninevites. You know, and he was going there regardless. So the Lord got him there. You know, in a very unique way. But you know, when he got there, and then you know, and it didn't even seem like his preaching was all that sincere. But he preached, and you know, it was effective. We can only go by what the story tells us, and you know, and the nation of Nineveh did repent, you know. But we know that in 2 Timothy it tells us that all Scripture is of inspiration of God, and it's profitable for us for reproof and instruction, you know. So we look at Jonah and say, well, he didn't want to go. God wanted him to go. Well, how about us? You know, it's easy to look at Jonah and say, yeah, he should have obeyed the Lord. Well, we should obey the Lord. And I'm not trying to say that I always obey the Lord either, but and then many times that we don't, we feel bad about it. We think, you know, I should have done that. I should have spoke to that person. I had an opportunity to hand a tract, or I had an opportunity to say something, and I kept my mouth shut. I didn't take that one or two steps over to that person. You know, so the bad examples are there too. You know, and there's enough of those in the Scripture. How about David? With his victory over, huh?
Both a good and a bad example.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. He should have gone when he should have been where he wasn't. Where he wasn't where he should have been, and look what happened with Bathsheba. Bad, very bad. And it's hi, Jim.
Back to the good again, Elijah.
Yeah. Amen. Joe.
Yeah, the Hebrews spies going into Canaan.
Yeah.
They were scared of Caleb and Joshua.
Yeah. Sure, Caleb and Joshua. Yeah. Mark?
For Lot, making wrong choices.
Oh, yeah, Lot, right. Another negative example. Yes.
Cora.
Yes, Cora, right. Right.
But you know what, David, even though he made wrong choices, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
But David, when David realized he did wrong, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't take forever to get it right with the Lord. He repented right
yes.
away.
Yeah.
And he knew, after he knew that he did wrong, mm-hmm. I love David.
Basically, you have.
And the fourth verse of the song says, "Anywhere but Jesus over land and sea," telling folks about salvation full and free, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And one of my favorite stories in the Bible, it's hard to say that any one story is my favorite, but the story of Philip in Acts chapter 8.
Yes.
Philip, he starts out in the city of Samaria, and he's preaching to the people that were there, and they heard him. And he did a lot of miracles. And then, next thing you know, the Holy Spirit comes to him through an angel of the Lord and says, "Get down to Gaza." And so Gaza, it looks to be, I don't know, probably about 50 miles or so from Jerusalem, at least. And he goes down to Gaza and he says, "You're going to find an Ethiopian eunuch down there."
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a desert place.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even know, where am I going to find? The desert's huge,
Sure.
And what happens if it gets dark, in the desert, you think about how the desert is during the day, it's hot, and at night it's cold.
Yeah.
Well, he goes down there, and he finds his Ethiopian eunuch. And it's one of the greatest stories that we have as far as salvation, a salvation experience, and how somebody gets saved.
Amen.
And I can't help but get excited when I read when the Ethiopian eunuch says, "Well, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "Well, if you keep the law, if you do all those things, and you give your money to the church." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest."
Amen.
And he, the Ethiopian eunuch, answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit caught Philip away, and he was gone, just like that.
Yeah.
And the eunuch saw him no more, it says, but he went on his way rejoicing.
Yes, amen. That is a great, for the other thing Philip didn't do is he didn't say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me.
Yep. There was no get on your knees.
Yeah.
Ask Jesus to come into my heart and save you.
Right. Yeah. It's the belief from the heart. That's
right.
That's what. And
I think that's important. From a biblical principle, it's very important that people have the right heart. They have to be willing to come.
Sure.
And I don't know if it was what brother it was. I think it was Brother Hitchens that talked about how that when we that it takes time to that we have. No, it was the other brother, the skinny guy, the one that walked all the way.
Brother Renzi. He's skinny. The skinny guy.
Brother Renzi talked about
to call him slim.
That that it takes time to lead people to Christ. It's not a 1, 2, 3, wham bam, thank you, bam. Discipling them. It's helping them to make sure that they truly understand. Mm-hmm. Salvation and that it's not works or anything like that. And I remember when I was people used to witness to me, I thought about when he was talking about that, and I was like, yeah, because they really probe you, like they're like making you almost it has to be a heartfelt thing between you and the Lord. And I remember how sometimes people would witness to me and then right away wanted me to get saved, and then you feel pressured.
Right.
You're not doing it. You're not doing it for the Lord, for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it because you feel like you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And down the line, down through the years, and his message really affected me, and it really has made a difference in how I talk to people, and I leave the decision totally up to them.
Yes, we have to.
You know, because I don't want them to be impressionable. I don't want them mm-hmm. getting saved because I say you have to. I want them to do it because they really want to. And that teaching and preaching really made a difference in how I'm learning to witness and learn how to, you know, to lead people to Christ. Right. It's their decision, not mine.
Well, you say if we, you know, a number of preachers, I think probably every preacher we've had here said the same thing in one way or another, that if you person convinced against their will is unwilling still. But you cannot convince, you can't force somebody and try to convince them from the flesh that this isn't going to work. I mean, you can, you know, there's so many false evangelizing methods, and it's a shame because, you know, then, you know, we give a person false hope and they think they're saved and they're not. So it's very important that we give the message and then let that message work in their heart. The gospel message has to work. The word of God is will not return void. But yeah, it's many times we want things to happen quickly, and sometimes they do. There are people that probably get saved right away. They might come in here lost as it can be and hear the gospel and get saved the same day. I praise the Lord for that. There's no time frame given. Some people takes 10, 20 years. And we can't rush it, you know, because it has to happen the right way. So we're getting close to 8:00, so we could probably spend another hour here, but I just want to read a couple more names. Joseph was one we didn't talk about, and, you know, there he really did a lot of traveling for the Lord, and great story. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, went to find a wife for Isaac, found Rebekah. At Gideon had an army of 32,000, and the Lord talked them down to 300 and went against Midian and had the victory. Of course, Nicodemus came to the Lord at night to learn the truth. I, for one, reject the idea that he was a coward. I don't see that in the story. There isn't anything in that story in John 3, there isn't anything in the Gospels where Nicodemus is mentioned afterwards that would insinuate him being a coward, okay? There's a lot of reasons why he could have come to the Lord at night, because he was a busy man and the Lord was busy too. Everybody was, you know, wanted to see the Lord. So, but he came to the right place. He came to the Lord to get the answers, to get the right answers, okay? And so That's my opinion. My impression of Nicodemus is that he was not a coward. He wasn't afraid, and he came sneaking in by night. You know, the story really doesn't go that way, and I think you have to kind of force some hidden meanings that are into that story to get Nicodemus to be a coward. But he stuck up for the Apostle Paul. If you remember, he stuck up for him in the Book of Acts, and he told the rest of the Pharisees, you know, that this thing is it's a, if it's of God, you can't stop it. If it's not, it's just going to fade away. And those aren't the exact words. But you had Philip, you know, in the Book of Acts. How about Abigail back in the Old Testament when she came, you know, she had that beast of a husband. And, you know, he mistreated David and his men, and she came and fed David and his men. And he had Esther. In the captivity, you know, she saved her people. And he had Eunice and Lois. Does anybody remember who Eunice and Lois were?
Jonathan's grandmother and mother.
Uh-huh, right. Who was the grandmother?
Lois.
Right. Yeah, and then you had a few Marys. Of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. You had Mary Magdalene, Rahab, Rebecca. A number of men and women that were faithful throughout scriptures, and you know, these things, as you know, said in the scriptures, they're there for our admonition, for our instruction, for reproof, and to make us hopefully see ourselves in those situations, you know, and hopefully we can see ourselves in some of the good situations where you had faithful prophets, you had faithful witnesses for the Lord, that we could see ourselves in that situation too, that, you know, we we can think of times when we were faithful, that we were able to speak for the Lord and have the blessing of seeing someone, hear the gospel and even get saved. And then possibly we could see ourselves in some of the other situations where we should have done something and didn't, you know. And so all those good examples and bad examples are there for us to evaluate our own ministry and our own service to the Lord. And so I think we'll stop here, and thank you for all the participation. And Jason, thank you for playing the hymn for us, and we'll break off into our prayer. God bless you.